This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Hey everyone, before we jump into this week's show, I just want to give you a heads up that John Williams is back in the States and he is doing well. Seems like he had a great vacation. And hopefully we're going to be having him back on the show next week. So we're going to get some more John Williams very soon. So once again, just as always, thanks for downloading, checking out the show. We have a special guest this week. You'll find out about him in just a couple seconds. And next week, we're going to have Chad Waterbury. We'll see you next week. Actually, you should probably listen to this first. Yeah, do that. I'm Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm John Williams.
And with us this week, we have a special guest, Lou Schuler.
Dr. John Girardi.
One-on-one with Craig Ballantyne.
One-on-one interview with Bill Hartman.
I'm Eric Cressy.
Can't forget our shakes this week.
It's a hell of a super shake.
Yeah, let's start off with this week's news. Need any updates for the FitCast to get the show notes with all the links for the show, just go to thefitcast.com for all your FitCast needs. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast, FitCast episode number 30. My name is Kevin Larrabee and we have a special guest this week. Again, I seem to be going after guests at the very last second, but this week we have with us Jimmy Smith. You might remember him from such episodes as the Video FitCast from the Ryan Lee Bootcamp. I mean, this guy's a huge up-and-comer. Look for him very soon with articles, and his website will be up in the near future as well. He'll be coming back onto the show to answer your questions then. But without further ado, Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm good, Kevin. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Doing very well. Thanks for coming on, man. Just talked to you about 2 hours ago, trying to get you on the show. So very happy.
Yeah, no, I'm ready to rock. Ready to do it up for the FitCast.
Sounds good. And as you see, we're both Massachusetts natives. So
I am not a Massachusetts native. That's an ugly rumor, actually. No, I'm not. I'm from Stamford, Connecticut. I was there my whole life. And it's funny, you're the only person that's probably ever accused me of having, like, a Massachusetts accent. I went to school in Mass. I went to school in Boston, but I wasn't told I had a New York accent because Stamford is only, like, 30 minutes away from the city, so.
I can see that.
Sorry to jump on you right there, pal.
Oh, that's fair. Fair game. But anyways, we'll jump right into the show. We have a very heavy news-related show, so we're going to have a bunch of articles for you this week. But we'll start off with the FitCast news, as always. First off, the FitCast Insider. Everyone out there, I got a taste of it last week. That's the kind of stuff we're going to be having. That Mike Robertson interview was just blew everyone away, it seems. I got a bunch of emails from guys out there, and they all liked it. And that just shows you, like, Mike Robinson's one hell of a smart dude. And just keep a lookout. And if you haven't already, check out his stuff at robertsontrainingsystems.com.
He spent a lot of time on the hips because he was the ass master, so he bumped his hips a lot.
Yeah, we didn't even bring that up. I thought we didn't really go too casual on the insider interview. We really kept it business-like, so we didn't even bring up the ass master, or he might have at the end. But there's been some changes with the billing. First off, I didn't know this, but with Visa and MasterCard, you're only allowed to charge monthly and quarterly. So we're going to be changing the subscription. We're still going to have the monthly, and we're going to have the quarterly. But that's the only two ways you can purchase it with a credit card. If you want to still do the $100 for the year, I will still be accepting payments through PayPal, but only through PayPal. So if you want to get in on that, feel free to drop me an email. You can get a hold of me through the FitCast newsletter or through thefitcast.com. So check that out. So we'll still have that $100 deal. I'm going to extend it till the end of the year because of the complications I've been having with the billing, but keep that in mind. And everyone who signed up for the $100 already, you're still going to get that. I'll be contacting you within the next couple of days on how we're going to work that out.
It's a great way to start off the new year. People jumping on the FitCast Insider because as the new year's come, people's programs start to get stale. People want to jumpstart the programs. You know, as, and once January hits, that means, you know, beach season is close. So that's the way to do it. Get some inside information and look better on the beach, have better programming, you know, whatever you want. The Fitcast Insider is going
to
have it.
You know what? That's a great transition into my next point. I just wanted to mention some guys that we're going to be having an upcoming Fitcast. I just did an interview with Smitty just a couple minutes ago. You might know him from Diesel Crew. Did a whole interview on grip, and he actually brought something up on how to analyze gait that's going to blow everyone out there away, and it's only going to cost you $2.
Really? That's funny. That's pretty good. Now, just to clarify the difference between Smitty and me, Jimmy Smith, he's Jim Smith.
Yeah.
Jimmy Smith, a lot of people get us confused. I mean, I get emails all the time, people be like, I loved your article about gripping. I'm like, oh, Christ, again. But that's my boy Smitty, so he's doing good things out there.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of Jimmy and James Smiths in the fitness industry.
Yeah, it's a pretty popular name, so I guess... What's good, because, you know, you have Smitty, so you have James Smith from Elite Fitness, so he goes by James.
Mm-hmm.
You have Smitty, so he goes by Jim, Smitty Smith, and then you have me, and I go by Jimmy. So hopefully, as we all kind of do our thing, you know, they can differentiate a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. But like I said, in the next couple weeks, or tonight, I'm even doing an interview with Lou Shuler that's going to be up on the Fitcast Insider, talking all about the fitness book industry and also the magazine industry. So keep
awesome.
A lookout for that. And I mean, I don't want to just give too much away, but John Berardi is going to be coming on the show, and this, like, the what we have planned is going to blow everyone away. So that John Berardi Fitcast Insider interview, I'm telling you, it's going to be worth the $100. Like, this is, we're going to be talking about some of the stuff that he talks about when you pay hundreds of dollars to go see him lecture. So it's going to be some amazing stuff. I'm not going to give too much away. I might tease you guys in the upcoming weeks, but I'll stop talking about the Fitcast Insider because I know you guys want to get in the main show. Just along with the Fitcast news, we're going to have Chad Waterbury on the Fitcast next week, so keep that in mind. He has a new book coming out called Muscle Revolution, which, I mean, if you guys haven't checked it out, what are you doing?
It came out already. I don't know. Did you know it came out already?
Yep. It's on TNation.com store for right now if you guys want to get a hold of that. And just get an order of $150 so you can get that free shipping. Trust me, might as well stock up because the shipping rates are pretty outrageous for a book.
Yeah, definitely take advantage of it.
And also, Jimmy, you had something you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, I wanted to give a shout-out to Tony Deplacor, my boy Tony G, with his birthday last Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. So I wanted to give a quick happy birthday shout out to Tony G.
Okay, so you're going to sing?
No, I am not going to sing to him. I am not. After his introduction, he guest hosted the Fitcast. I don't want to make the same mistake. So I'm just going to let it go there. I just wanted to say happy birthday, Tony G.
Yeah, I guess there was some controversy back then. Actually, we probably shouldn't even get into that just for the sake of.
The people can go in and listen to it for themselves if they want.
Yeah.
But, just listen close to the beginning. It's pretty funny.
But anyways, that brings up another point. Tony will be back on the Fitcast in the next couple of weeks as well. We want to give him his own show because this dude is just, I mean, he has so much fitness knowledge. If you checked out the Insider interview, he just literally goes on forever talking because he has just so many things he needs to say, and he has just so much knowledge in that head of his. And so keep a lookout for that. And the last piece of Fitcast news, Chris Schwab won the Metabolism Advantage book. So, Chris, if you could shoot me an email or just reply to one of the newsletters, you won the Metabolism Advantage book, and we'll get that out to you as soon as you send me an email.
Yeah, if no one has that book, I definitely strongly suggest them to go pick it up. It's kind of one of those books you kind of need to have on your bookshelf.
Mm-hmm.
It just covers a little bit of everything, and you still always hear the myth. As you get older, your metabolism slows down, and, you know, John Berardi does excellent job of just kind of spelling that rumor and going into why it really slows down. So that's one of the books you need to have.
And also, what some people have said and what I've been doing is I actually have, at school right now, I really don't have time to sit down with everyone that comes up to me asking for dietary advice or training advice. So I've been lending them that book, and I give them the New Rules of Lifting, and I say, read these, then come back to me, and we'll think of something up, all right? Because
it
answers so many questions.
Yeah, it really does. If people read those two books, you know, their training is going to be point on, their nutrition is going to be point on. You're going to see a lot of people not making the same mistakes that the majority of guys in the gym are making. You know, they read the New Rules of Lifting, the Metabolism Advantage, their diet's going to be on, their training is going to be good. So
exactly. But without further ado, let's jump right into the FitCast news. All right, we're going to start off our first news story this week. The Nintendo Wii has launched. I know all you out there, you're heavy into fitness, and I'm here talking about a video game. All right, but hear me out. On Black Friday, I camped out, and I picked up one of these Nintendo Wiis because I was really interested in it. It looks like a great thing because you might know your video games. It's like your PlayStation. You sit down, you get a bag of chips, a 2-liter of your favorite soda, and you just play some Madden for a little bit. But the Nintendo Wii is looking to be a little different. First off, I'll tell you, I got it. It's $250. You bring it home. The first game that I put in was a free game that it came with called Wii Sports. All right, the Wii Sports comes with bowling, tennis, golf, boxing, and I'm forgetting one, baseball. All right.
Wow.
All right, so it comes with, I mean, they're not like games within themselves, but they're still fun nonetheless. And I'm going to tell you, me and my friend, if you play one game of boxing and you play it like hardcore, your arms are tired. I was sweating after playing Wii Sports after a half an hour, and I'm in pretty decent shape.
I believe it.
I feel like I'm in good cardiovascular condition. And just playing the boxing, because basically you have two controllers in each one of your hands. And you're looking at the screen, and basically you get a punch like physically, and you get a punch faster to get faster punches. And you can do like uppercuts, you can do side punches, and all this stuff. And same thing with baseball. I mean, you wouldn't even think about it, but if you play Home Run Derby where you keep swinging the bat, that's a decent amount of exercise for a kid that's sitting on his butt.
Yeah, it really is. But it's pretty funny because you're hearing that kids are cracking TVs, they're breaking furniture, because I mean some people will really get into it. Like you're playing on, I think I know Call of Duty's out for the Nintendo Wii.
Yeah.
So shoot, people are jumping behind couches, to get color and to kind of shoot. People are really, really getting into it. It's not just kids. So they're cracking TVs, they're breaking furniture. It's actually pretty funny to read these stories.
No, I'm telling you, like, I was playing, I had one Wii injury so far, and it wasn't to me, but I was part of it. I was in my dorm room. Okay, note to everyone out there, dorm rooms are not good for Nintendo Wii because you need some room. But anyways, we were playing tennis, me and a buddy of mine were playing tennis, and I went for the backswing, and I knocked him right in the head. So, it's not something that, you really need to have some room for it. But I'm telling you, even the tennis, like, you get into, like, a huge match of tennis, you get tired because you get into it and you're just throwing that. Like, your arm's just going so fast and you're trying to get in as many shots as possible. And,
I bet there's a lot of injuries. I bet there's a lot of injuries that are, happening out there. Some funny things like that. People get hit in the head, like you just described. And I think it's funny, right? I think we're probably going to see a new injury. It's going to be called Wii Wrist, because generally when people are using the thing, they're going to get hurt. It's like you have pitcher's elbow, you're going to have injuries like that, and it's going to be funny because people are just going to be playing the Wii over and over again, and they're going to be affecting the wrist so it's going to be, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, I already hurt my shoulder playing the Wii when I was playing.
That's another thing.
I just had soreness from playing either tennis or baseball. I don't know what it was, but I felt like I really just pulled something for 2 days. My scapula just didn't feel right.
Yeah, well, you're going to have a lot of people that are just not physically active. They're going to do it. So, like anything else that you do the first time that you haven't done, they're going to be sore after, and they may pull some muscles, they may get a couple strains. But the thing is, I hate to be the bearer of bad news for Nintendo, but look at if you're like a baseball player, if you're a pitcher, right? So you love playing baseball, you go and you get the Wii and you get the baseball game for it. So you're pitching over and over again, you're getting the extra internal rotation of your shoulder. What's going to happen? All you're going to do is just facilitate the problem even more. If you already have a bum shoulder, or if you haven't, you're going to get those extra pitches because you're going to be playing a game. So kids are going to go out there and they're going to throw, 60, 70 pitches at the TV screen playing the Wii on top of what they do at practice or in the game, I'd be surprised. Watch for it in the next coming months,
No, exactly. And one of the great things about this is that there's more in the next coming months, and actually in January, there's a fitness game coming out
really?
That's has people doing bodyweight squats, has you sprinting in place. It's like the track and field game from the old NES games, basically.
That's what I was going to bring up. That's exactly what was the next thing I was going to bring up. Is the power pad. I mean, you know, I think the toughest guy was the Cougar. The Cougar, the Jaguar, they call it in the track and field game. You know, and you look at that, and that was probably the most physically active game we had until Nintendo Wii came out. And then you had, if you ever go to the arcades, they had the old, like, dance beat where you had to dance. But, you know, Nintendo came out with it back then with the track and field. We had to jump over the hurdles, and you had to do, you know, the sprints and everything. So that was pretty tough back then. But now, I mean, the Wii takes it to another level.
I mean, it's just something that's great. And I'm going to offer this out to anyone out there that takes a picture with themselves or has an old picture of themselves with a power pad. I'm going to give you a free t-shirt. All right? So right there.
You just upset me, Kevin, because I already have a t-shirt. I have the power pad downstairs in my basement. I know exactly where it is. You know, and I can go bust that out. I don't have the system, but I can go bust out the power pad.
Oh, man. Sorry. This is for non-guests. For all you listeners out there, get me a picture. Email it to me. You can get a hold of me, like I said, through the newsletter on thefakecast.com. You can contact me through there. And, I mean, I'll accept up to three people. And three people will have a shot at this. The first three people that send it to me, you get a free t-shirt, all right?
Yeah, I mean, people are going to be rushing you. No, people have their power pads like in the attic or someplace like that. So,
a bonus. If you take video footage of it and put it up on YouTube, and it has to be you, though, because I'm going to be investigating this. If you can do that, I'll give you a sweatshirt, a hoodie, a FitCast hoodie, which I must say are pretty stylish.
So you're going to be getting people hurt now. People are going to be rushing out, getting their power pads.
eBay,
all
man.
All kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah.
That's all right. But anyways, we'll end on that. End on that note. I mean, I'm telling you, this Nintendo Wii thing. If you want something for your kids that's gonna get them moving around, and they'll still be able to play their Mario, still play like I got Zelda too. And I'm telling you, when you like move
really?
That, when you move that, you have like a sword in your right hand, and you're gonna keep moving your arm up and down like during battles, and it gets intense. Like, I'm sorry, I'm a video game fan, so I'm kind of
I am too. And I mean. It definitely, you know, enticed me to go get that because it could be pretty fun, definitely.
Yeah, it was a business expense, so I wrote that off.
Yeah, business expense. Fitness related, all the way.
Absolutely. Let's jump into the next piece of news. And actually, I grabbed this because I saw it at the JP Fitness boards. We had some people talking in the diet and nutrition section about a new form of Muscle Milk. It's actually called Muscle Milk Light. Basically, the one thing that really sticks out about this is that this version of Muscle Milk doesn't have the creatine precursor that the other ones had. I'm looking for it right now. Glycoclimine?
Yeah, glycoclimine.
So I'm trying to say that right.
Yes.
But basically, they did a couple guys on the boards. I want to give a shout out to Ian Rockhard, who's my boy. So he actually brought up this thread. And basically, for all of you out there, I wish John Williams was here because he is in love with Muscle Milk. I mean, he loves the stuff. But unfortunately, he's still overseas right now, so he's enjoying his vacation. But anyways, the difference between Muscle Milk and Muscle Milk Light, basically, Muscle Milk Light has roughly about half the calories, half the fat, has about the same amount of carbs, but it only has 25 grams of protein opposed to 32 grams of protein for the normal Muscle Milk. So you could basically, like our friend Roland said, you could take just one scoop of regular Muscle Milk and basically make Muscle Milk Light, and you could just add some whey in it and be good to go. And they actually, I looked on bodybuilding.com, which is where I pretty much get all my supplements, and they charge the same amount for a 1.5-pound tub opposed to a 2.5-pound tub of regular Muscle Milk, and you're getting less.
Wow.
So
that's not good right there.
Cytosport, you're really disappointing me right there. I mean, just stick with regular Muscle Milk. Just don't, like, have it every day, and if you can, get the ready-to-drink version because it doesn't have the creatine precursor in it as well. So, I mean, I was just a little disappointed in them.
Most of them look at delicious stuff, though. I mean, you know, you'd be surprised the parents that actually give it to their kids, you know, that they can't get their kids to eat healthy foods. They get Muscle Milk, and the kids take it. They take in the protein with it because they love how it tastes. Because if you mix that with milk, I mean, you're in heaven right there.
I'm telling you, that's what JP does from JP Fitness.
He makes it with milk. I haven't had Muscle Milk in a while.
No, he gives it to his kids.
Oh, he gives it to his kids?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, I guess it's better than nothing, but, you know, Muscle Milk does taste delicious. You know, especially, I'm a fan of the cookies and cream.
Oh, I hear you, man. Dude, I could eat that stuff right out of the tub.
Oh, no, it's delicious, like, without a doubt. It is probably the best-tasting protein powder in existence.
Damn, I can't wait till I bulk again later this year, but what's that?
And you start using it then when you start bulking up a little bit?
Yeah, Mr. Cosgrove has me on a program right now. We're going to see how far we can push Kevin Larrabee before we start a bulk.
Okay.
But
I'd be good to see that.
Well, I mean, like some of you out there know, I'm having surgery in December 20th, so I'm not going to be able to lift for between a week and 2 weeks, so I'm just going to reset in a couple of weeks. Right now, I'm just doing what Alan's got me doing, and let you know how that goes. But
yeah, what are you getting surgery on? Your shoulder? You said?
No, it's something that I might be doing a piece for the FitCast on. It's something that guys need to keep a lookout for, but I'm not gonna talk about it right now because I think I might be doing a piece on it.
Okay, keep carrying the bag.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's something that I'll bring it up. This is gonna be me growing some balls and bringing this up for a lot of guys out there. You wouldn't think it. I'll tell you how my doctor told me. All right. When guys are going through puberty, they have a lot of testosterone, all right?
Okay.
So you got a lot of testosterone building up, and some of it breaks down into estrogen, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. And for some guys, they get tissue on under their chest, like under,
okay,
like on top of their pecs, yeah. Basically.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Yeah. And what some guys they have to keep a lookout for is that can be cancerous.
No doubt about it. Yeah, you got to get that taken care of.
And this is something that, like, my doctor brought up to me. Is like, I mean, this is something that I've gone to a pretty low body weight from being, like, a big kid back in the day, pushing, like, 210 at 6 feet. So he's telling me this is something that you're going to have to get looked at. And
no doubt about it.
Yeah, basically I did. And basically it's the same thing as with women. You can get a lump there. And you have to get it removed because there's no point in taking the chance.
No. I mean, you see that back, you know, a couple of years ago when all the pro-hormones used to be legal and you had these 17-year-old kids taking them. They would take these pro-hormones and they'd get them in their system, they'd raise their testosterone, and then they'd just get off the clean. They could just get off it. They wouldn't do any post-cycle therapy, anything to bring their natural levels back up, depress the cortisol in their body, reduce the estrogen. And these kids are developing, these 17-year-old kids are developing these lumps underneath their chest, and it's like, you know, something's going on here, we need to look into it.
Exactly.
And especially with women, with all there's different types of estrogen. And women need to be on the lookout for that as well. So,
well, you know what sucks is that I never got the benefits of steroids.
You never did.
I never got to take them. I just got stuck with the shit anyway. But
yeah, seriously. Sorry about that, bud.
No, it's all good. It's gonna work out all right. It's a simple operation. I just won't be able to lift my upper body for a couple of weeks. But for all you guys out there, I really do advise, if it is noticeable, go to your doctor and ask them about it, because this is something that guys need to look out for as well. I mean, it's great that they're doing all the coverage for females, but you know what, guys, you could be on the same boat as well, and there's been many cases of it, so.
Yeah, I mean, if you ever, if anybody's like a pro wrestling fan out there, and you watch it, and all of a sudden like, you see a wrestler just wears a t-shirt to the ring, you know, for weeks on end, that's usually the case, actually.
Oh, really?
I mean, if you ever pay attention, if you're a pro wrestling fan, you know, look at whatever wrestler, ex-wrestler, will wear like a t-shirt and wrestle in a t-shirt for weeks on end, and that's usually because they had to get that surgery, because, you know, it's a minor surgery, but still, they had to get have to wear the t-shirt to cover it up.
And we got to keep in mind to everyone, this is not always caused by steroids. In my case, it's not caused by steroids. It's caused by just being, just getting like a raw deal, I guess, through puberty. It's just how the
it's just a conversion from testosterone to estrogen and how your body processed it.
Exactly. So, but I seem to be doing all right now. I mean, I have no adverse side effects. It's just something that better to get done sooner rather than something to happen later down the road. So we're going to deal with it now. But
geez, I'm thinking that, you know, you have a shoulder issue. I'm a jerk, huh?
Oh, no. No, I did have shoulder problems a while ago. I've had my calves, my shoulders.
Your calves are a different story, my friend. Are you doing the dorsiflexion I was telling you about? Have you done that, by the way?
The what?
The dorsiflexion I was telling you
Hell
about?
Yeah. So, dude, like I told Mike Robertson on the show a while ago, that my vertical leap has gone up ever since I've been putting in those movements.
I believe it.
And it's awesome.
I believe it. Like, you know, you get some muscles firing, you clear up some inhibited muscle, and, you know, you're going to see, like, it's funny, guys will look at a vertical jump and they'll try every possible way to train, and you make a kid, whether it be a basketball, football player, whatever the athlete is, and you put him on his back and you say, you know, do one leg bridge. And they can't get up like 1 inch because their glutes are that weak. Well, the glutes can be your prime mover to get into triple extension at the hip, knee, and the ankle. So if you don't have those firing, then you're in for a world of hurt, both you know, moving wise and with your vertical jump. You're not going to get up as high as you need to.
Exactly. But we kind of went off into a side tangent, but that's all right. Jimmy, you actually have the next piece of news.
I do. It's actually a piece I came by the other day on CNN.com. It was in the health section. It's a fitness industry pushes for better trainers. And it's pretty inspiring to see this out there, that it's starting to, the public is starting to take notice that we need better education with our trainers out there. Basically, to sum up the article, Purdue University actually has a 4-year undergraduate personal fitness trainer degree. So you're certified by NASA when you come out of it. And it covers a lot of the basics. It covers exercise phys, basic health studies, fitness evaluation. But it's really inspiring to see that schools are actually starting to take notice with this. I know there's some online programs that offer some stuff too. And it was actually, there was an article in the New York Times about 2 months ago that talked about how doctors are really looking for trainers, you know, to be referral sources, but they want their trainers to be better educated. And this is something, you know, that we definitely need in this industry, because it used to be, you know, the guy who had the best physique, or the woman who looked the best would be the trainer in the gym, everybody would go to them. Now it's becoming, you know, something that a lot of people just jump into because they need to make extra money, or they think it's an easy job.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at it, it's anything but, you know, personal training, strength training. That can have you going from 5 a.m. to, you know, 9, 10 o'clock at night, and then, you know, even if you're training or not training, even if you're, you know, making money with their online websites, you know, it could be a pretty daunting task as well. So, you know, there's definitely a call for better knowledge in here. And, I mean, when you really break it down, Kevin, when you look at it, say you have, like, $500, okay? So you have $500 to do nothing with. And I wish we all just got $500 for nothing. But so say you have $500. Look at everything you can get. You can pick up books. You can attend, you know, one-day seminars and perform better. Doesn't they cost, like, $190 or $200? You know, there was one yesterday in New Jersey that had a Mike Boyle, Gary Cook. I think Martin Rooney spoke at it as well. So, you know, there's you can go to great seminars for $200, and, you know, even the Ryan Lee seminar was
$250,
you know, and that was 3 days, and probably that's without a doubt the biggest you know, fitness meeting in the industry, you know, for 3 days for $250. So that leaves you, so say you go to the boot camp, that's $250. You have $250 to do other stuff with. Then you just go books or DVDs and learning, man, there's just so much out there. There was a thread on T Nation in the chat, and actually it was Chad Waterbury's thing about his book, The Muscle Revolution, and someone said, you know, it's $40, it's you know, that's a lot to spend for a book. So it's $40 to more or less look into the mind of one of the best trainers out there today and learn how to structure your program, even if you don't care about structuring your own program. Say, even if you're not someone like me or you who, you know, wants to structure our own program, wants to do our own stuff, you take this book, you look at it, and Chad gives you every one of his programs, how to do them in order to do them, in a totally new strength, total strength program. I think he called it total strength, a program that, you know, no one's seen before. So for $40, that's a year's worth of programming. I mean, I would take that. Well, you look at, you can go to a gym and pay, what, $60 to work with a trainer who, you know, has XYZ certification that they got in 5 hours. You know, I mean, it's kind of, it's a no-brainer. So if you just look at it, in the grand scheme of things, you know, $500 or $1,000, you know, a year spent on continuing education is really nothing, and look how much you can get out of it.
Exactly. I mean, that I look at it the same exact way. It's just, I mean, if you want to get better, you got to learn. Like many people out there, they say, just like read 2 articles a day, spend an hour a day reading things online, whether it's like
picking
up a book. I mean, and some of these things are so cheap now. Like, you can get the New Rules of Lifting for like $14. You can get it used for under $10.
And that's a great book. I mean, and that breaks everything down. Why you should use free weights? Why you should use total body movement?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything gets broken down. And I know we're going to talk about magazines a little later, but
you gave it away.
Well, I'm sorry, my bad. I didn't mean to give it away like that.
I'm just kidding.
But, no, I mean, you really look at it, and the ability to, you know, just continue to learn, especially if you're within the industry. One of the biggest problems you have with people within the industry is they just want to recite stuff they heard.
Mm-hmm.
So they recite something Eric said, or they recite something, you know, Chad Waterbury said, or Alan said. Look behind it. Look at why are they saying that? What does the research say? What does experience say? You know, look at the whys behind stuff, and then that's how you truly are going to educate yourself. So.
I hear you there, man.
My little ramble.
But anyways, the moral of that story is go spend $500 whether you have it or not tonight. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Yeah, just spend it. Just spend it.
But let's jump into the last piece of news. It's called genetically... Actually, I got this from Washington Post, just as we're mentioning where we got stuff. Genetically engineered rice wins approval by the Department of Agriculture, the USDA.
This is an interesting story.
Yeah, this is kind of messed up. It's nice that we're having more and more genetically engineered food put into our grocery stores, but just more of the reason to buy
organic.
What the hell am I doing? I'm sorry, I've been at the computer all day. Organic.
That's okay.
But even, actually, this brings up a point that I wanted to make, is that even organic, if it says organic, that doesn't always necessarily mean the same thing for everything.
No.
So I don't know about that organic sign anymore. Be extra cautious. But anyways, basically, they've created a genetically engineered form of rice that just basically pesticides won't go after. And this is just one of the... first foods that have been allowed as a genetically engineered substance. I mean, you've seen it in vegetables before, and we're just starting to see it more and more. And I mean, it's just, to me, it's just kind of scary that we're seeing more and more of this acceptance of genetically engineered food. And I'd like to, as much as I can, when I'm at the grocery store, I buy organic. If it's like a 50 cents difference, I'll go organic and I'll just bite the bullet. But if it's, going between a $2.50 bag of organic romaine lettuce and a $4 bag, I usually probably just... Organic looks great, but it's just not $1.50
more. It looks good for $2.50. Looks good.
Yeah. But, I mean, that just brings up a lot of things where organic might be getting cheaper. As we mentioned on a previous vidcast, that Walmart's starting to go organic in their super Walmart stores where they have grocery stores built into them.
Really?
So, I don't know. I'd rather have it say organic than genetically engineered on it.
Yeah, I'd be a little scared of that.
But either way, I mean, just you got to be cautious. Feel free to ask questions when you're at the grocery store as well. I mean, you might look weird doing it, but you'll feel very good about knowing what's actually in your food.
Good point.
But anyways, let's jump into the round table to finish this off. We haven't had a round table in like 10 episodes, so actually maybe...
Let's get after it.
What's that?
Let's get after it.
Hell yeah. Well, this roundtable is basically all about magazines, which are good, which are bad, what do you read, what do you stay away from, and also why. The way we're going to do this is we're both going to have a shot to name one magazine that's good, one's bad, and then we'll just go back and forth. Sound good?
Point, counterpoint, okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to start off. My favorite fitness magazine is Men's Fitness. Basically because it tends to be a little less on the BS meter. When you look at some of the men's health stuff, they have here's a $700 pair of jeans that you'll never be able to buy and why you should wear them. But with things like Men's Fitness in the past, I mean, they've had Jason on, they've had Craig Ballantyne writing for them. There's just so many good names associated with Men's Fitness, and they usually have good articles and good workouts. in the back. Like many of you out there might remember, Craig Ballantyne had a what am I looking for? A program in the back of one of the back of one of the men's fitness magazines. The name's blanking on me, but many out there.
Yeah, I can't think of the name. No.
Oh, but it was just a kick-ass workout, and they usually just did a really good job with their layout. They stuck with just simple nutrition stuff, simple fitness, and they still. I mean, to sell magazines, you still have to put on them how to lose 10 pounds and get ripped abs, and to like lose 10 pounds of fat and gain 40 pounds of muscle in 10 days.
Yeah.
Just BS like that, but that's the magazine I usually tend to go back towards.
No, it's a good pick. I mean, I'd probably say in terms of my... Is it my turn to go or are you going to go?
Yeah, no, go. What's your good?
Okay. I was going to say, my good, I probably have to agree with you. I don't really read fitness magazines a lot anymore. I used to be really big into it. About four or five years ago, I used to get every month was Flex, every month was... Muscle Fitness, every month it was Muscular Development. But recently, within like the past year and a half, I haven't really picked them up. What I'll do now is if I'm shopping, like today I was in the mall doing Christmas shopping, and I stopped by and I picked up Men's Fitness and I looked through it. You know, but I would probably say Men's Fitness and Men's Health. I'll put them both up there together because they're going to give you the most solid bang for your buck training information. Like, I agree with what you said. Sometimes Men's Health will have like $700 pair of jeans, but all in all, I would put Men's Fitness and Men's Health right there at the top because you get solid training information from guys that are in the trenches, from guys that know what they're doing. You don't get, you know, these outlandish programs like spend a day in the gym and build your arms 2 inches. Mm-hmm. You remember that? You know, back in the day, I used to run and, you know, flex, I think, like every third month. You know, say spend a day in the gym and, you know, grow an inch on your arms. And from a science and a anatomical point of view, that's not really going to be the best thing for you.
Well, you can do it with no explode.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess you could do it with that too, but I would probably say Men's Fitness and Men's Health because, you know, again, you're getting the best writers out there, you're getting the real in the trenches stuff, and, you know.
Well, I got to give it to Men's Health. Like you said, they've really started to put together a nice set of authors. Like, they have Bill Hartman writing for them.
Yeah.
Craig Ballantyne has gone from Men's Fitness to Men's Health.
Yeah.
I mean, just they just seem to have, I mean, Adam Campbell's over at Men's Health.
They had a good article a couple months ago. I think it was Cassandra with Adam Campbell. They did, I think, 12 foods you should never eat. That was a really good article. So Men's Health is actually starting to step it up a little bit in terms of, like, their training articles. So
definitely. And also, I think it's worth mentioning some online magazines. I mean, I think if either one of us were to pick one online magazine, it would be Teenation.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Just because, I mean, their authors are the best of the best, pretty much. I mean, just going down the list with Alan Cosgrove, Chad Waterbury. They've got the Ass Master, Mike Robertson. They got Eric Cressy. Tony is writing for them now. Tate chimes in. I mean, Boyle chimes in. Lou Schuler from time to time has an article on there. I mean, fill in the blanks for me, Jimmy. I mean,
Teenation is definitely the place to go in terms of online magazines for training information, and you get the best of, you know, the best of both worlds there. You get, you know, the bodybuilding, body composition stuff with Chad Waterbury and Christian Thibodeau. You get the strength stuff, you know, the athletic stuff. You get the rehab stuff. Teenation really is the spot to go to. It's funny; it's kind of evolved since, you know, back when it first started, when, you know, Charles Pollock and Ian King. It was, you know, such a trend-setting website. You know, then with those guys out there putting information out there. That no one kind of ever heard of before. You know, well, we're going to use tempo, and we're going to use, you know, antagonistic training when Charles Pollock can put it out there. And, you know, it still is, you know, the most kick-ass, up-to-date, hardcore website out there. The best of the best are on it, and you're going to get the best information there.
Absolutely. And just, Jimmy, is there any periodicals you just tell people to stay away from totally?
Any articles I tell people to stay away from?
Any magazines, I'm sorry.
Any magazines, I would probably say that, you know, the pure bodybuilding magazines. You know, if you look at the newsstand, like today I was on it and I saw magazines, fitness magazines I've never seen before. There was stuff like Planet Muscle.
Yeah.
There was stuff like, you know, men's body shaping. Like, it seems like there's more and more magazines out there every time you go. But I would say, you know, you have to kind of pick and choose your battles. Like, you know, if you're a lot of kids the first one they're going to jump to is Flex. Because A, the name Flex, and B, you know, they're going to see a picture of their, you know, favorite bodybuilder on the front. But I mean, I would say kind of stay away from, if I had to pick the difference between Flex and muscular development, I'd probably go toward the muscular development if I had to pick one, like if I was handcuffed and had to pick one, simply because muscular development has, I think, like 15 or 20 pages devoted to just, you know, the latest nutrition and training and exercise science information. But I'd probably say those two should be on the end of your wish list, because you're going to get more training information, more bang for your buck, especially, you know, when you're paying for something, mm-hmm. you know, it really mm-hmm. matters with men's fitness or men's health.
Sounds good. I just wanted, before we leave, I got a couple emails the last couple weeks about people being interested in a paper that I'm writing in regards to the connections between strength training and depression. Well, I'm not going to go...
Good topic.
What's that?
A good topic. I've seen a lot of research on it.
Yeah, it was surprising. I finished up the research paper. I got an A on it, so I guess it turned out pretty good. And basically, from the research, strength training would be such a great prescription for people with depression.
Yeah,
and I'm just going to bring up a couple points. I mean, first off, it's something that almost anyone can do at almost any age. Obviously, you're not going to be having 80-year-olds doing presses with 300 pounds, but you can be able to implement it like with little money, with dumbbells and a nice setup. Like, and one of the points that I brought up is that you could bring it into settings where there's nothing there and that people could really use it. Like, I'm talking about
exactly
nursing homes, hospitals.
Yeah.
I wanted to figure out a nice way of saying this, but psychiatric hospitals.
Mental institutions.
There you go. Mental institutions. And and places that would be huge that don't have and that really should is police stations. Because, I mean, think about the level of stress if you see your buddy get shot in the side of the street.
Yeah, I mean, police stations generally actually have some of the worst gyms. They don't really put a lot into it.
Yeah.
I know, you know, the places where I'm from, all the cops work out at different gyms. But it's strength training is huge for depression. I mean, even if you look at, not even in terms of like a clinical setting, and so not somebody who's in an institute, you know, you look at, if someone says to you, like one of your buddies comes up to you and is like, you know, my girlfriend just broke up with me, what's the first thing he usually does? He usually goes and works out.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, when someone's upset, they're like, I have to get my frustrations out. Where do they go? They go to the gym. Any type of physical activity they go to do. And so it's just such a positive thing that has to be reinforced. I mean, you get people, you get out, you know, you get to meet people. And that's one of the bigger things. Like, I know we like to rag on people that, you know, just go to the gym to meet people or just go to the gym to, you know, have 12-minute, you know, rest intervals so you can talk to someone next to them. But, you know, in terms of like a depression setting, you get out, you interact with people, and after you see people for a couple of days straight at the gym, you start to talk to them. So there's a lot of positives aside from just what strength training does for you, just being around it and being around that environment. Pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And just some of the ways that it's just great as an alternate treatment, because just if you think about some of the medications out there, a lot of them, the depression medications will actually cause people to gain weight while they take them.
Yeah.
Like you've heard John Berardi talk about in the past. And the deal with that is, what if their depression stems from body composition?
Which it usually does with a lot of people.
Yeah, and you're just kind of in a vicious cycle. I mean, the medication might be helping you, but then you're gaining weight, and it's going to – what happens when you go off the medication?
Exactly. I read a study one time. I can't put my finger on it right now, but you know, just the correlation between testosterone and you know, mood enhancement, and you know, what's one of the best ways to do it is strength training. You know, go get stronger, and your testosterone is going to get jacked up. It's going to rise up, and you're going to feel better. You know, and especially you said body composition. You know, anybody that goes and loses, you know, a couple pounds, and you know, starts to see an ab or two, you know, they're going to be really happy.
Exactly. But I just wanted to bring that up. That's for all you out there that asked about it. And right after the show, I'm finishing up a research paper on beta-alanine, which by all means, the studies show that it's a kick-ass supplement.
That's a great product. I mean, when you just look at alanine and in terms of like natural process and, mm-hmm. and what alanine does in your body, you know, as you strength train, you know, supplementing with the beta-alanine is definitely a smart decision.
Yeah, especially for people out there that are going to the gym 6 or even 7 times a week. That's where it's really going
to
help them
out. I don't understand that, going to the gym 6-7 times a week. Like, I know a lot of women who are middle age, mm-hmm. Mid 30s, early 40s, and they're at the gym 6-7 days a week. Just training, I have to scratch my head. Like, when do you have time to recover?
The only thing I can think of if going, obviously you always have to take one day a week off, but I feel that if I'm going there 6 days a week, it's usually 3, maybe 4 days of weight training tops, and then I might do some foam rolling, and I might do some intervals on the days off. Yeah. And I just find that if I get in there, I find it a lot easier to, like, stick to my diet. I feel that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. But, I mean, when I first started, when I was, like, 16 years old, I was doing body part splits. I was doing Monday through Friday, one day of the off.
Oh, me too, man. I did splits where I was doing 6 days a week of splits. Yeah. Like, I was such an idiot.
And then I got into a Saturday workout where I, used it to bring up certain areas. So, like, I'd go in, I would do trap work, or I would do, like, VMO work. And it's just, your body is not going to recover. So, like you said, you're better off hitting it, 4 times a week and doing, some active recovery stuff. I have a friend who, she's in good shape, but she used to train 6 days a week. And, because her job requirements have changed, she can only go 4 days a week now. And she's actually improved. Her physique's actually improved. Mm-hmm. Because she's only in there 4 days a week, she has to maximize everything she does.
Well, your body, if your body gets to a point where it's going to have to hold on to what body fat you have, by all means necessary, and if that means just not burning any calories, it's going to do that too. So,
yeah, it's just, I would say the only positive to being in the gym 6-7 times a week is if it does keep you on your diet. If you don't have that structure of a diet where if you don't work out, you can't eat right, mm-hmm. then I would say, do it. But if you're going to do it, active recovery, foam roll, do some activation work, because everybody needs more activation work. But by no means would I say go in the gym more than 4 times a week.
Absolutely. But anyways, I guess that will pretty much wrap it up for this week's episode of the FitCast. FitCast episode number 30. As I always say, don't forget to check out thefitcast.com to get the show notes, get all the links for the news articles that we talked about on the show, direct downloads, and that's pretty much it. We're going to get out of here because it's Sunday and I have
a lot of homework to do.
Yeah, we have stuff to do. So, thanks again for tuning into the FitCast. My name's Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Jimmy Smith.
And we'll see you next time. Thanks again for downloading. Check us out on iTunes. And have a great week.